This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
A sign that the heart of a believer is beating with iman is that when he or she falls into a sin, feels a tremendous amount of fear which envelops them. This is an individual who realizes that those lines that were crossed, whether during times of privacy or in times of public appearances, these are lines, these are sins that will not pass without ramifications, without consequences. In fact, in his book Al-Jawab Al-Kafi, Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim, he lists no less than 40 different ways in which the punishment of a sin may arrive at the doorstep of an individual. He lists 40 different ways in which the punishment of Allah may arrive at the doorstep of an individual, each way being more terrifying and scary than the other. So the believer, he is scared of the consequences of his sins. Thus Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the companion, would say, as Imam al-Bukhari narrates in his Sahih, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ يَرَى ذُنُوبَهُ كَأَنَّهُ قَاعِدٌ تَحْتَ جَبَلٍ يَخَافُ أَن يَقَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّ الْفَاجِرَ يَرَى ذُنُوبَهُ كَذُبَابٍ مَرَّ عَلَىٰ أَنْفِهِ فَقَالَ بِهِ هَكَذَا. He says, the true believer is a person who sees his sins as if he is sat beneath a huge mountain and he is afraid that that mountain may come crashing down on him at any moment. And as for the rebellious sinner, he sees his sins as something very insignificant, like a fly that sits on his nose, and thus he casually swats it away with his hand. Thus the wakeful Muslim, the conscious Muslim, the well-read Muslim, the Muslim who is aware, is very aware that those lines that were crossed in secrecy or in public will not go without consequences. Therefore he is afraid, he is scared, he is scared. And with that said, we can ask a question. Are there any particular ways to push away these consequences? If you and I are sinners, and without a doubt we are, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّى, every human being is a sinner, as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said. And these are consequences that will sometimes show up in your life in the form of bankruptcy, in the form of loss of wealth, in the form of deteriorating health, in the form of anxiety that now envelops you, in depression that engulfs you, in a lack of ability to sleep. It could come in the form of loss of children. It could come in the form of cancer. This consequence of sin may take many forms, as Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala and others have mentioned. And therefore we pose the question once again, if I am that individual, what can I do to push away these consequences before they arrive? What can I do to divert the punishment of Allah Almighty before it visits me, and before I then start running around looking for relief, looking for cure, looking for forgiveness? Here we move on to the words of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, who mentions 10 different ways in which we can do so in his Majmu' al-Fatawa. And he says, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ وَالْمُؤْمِنُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُ إِذَا وَقَعَ فِي سَيِّئَةٍ فَإِنَّ عُقُوبَتَهَا تَنْدَفِعُ عَنْهُ بِعَشَرَةِ أَسْبَعٍ. He says, when a believer falls into a sin, then he can push away the consequence of that sin and its punishment before it arrives via 10 different ways. The first, and try to memorize these, dear brothers and sisters, an application is our goal. Try to memorize these. The first, he says, أَنْ يَتُوبَ فَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فَإِنَّ التَّائِبَ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. He says the first way to push away the consequence of the sin is when such a person engages in tawbah, repentance, And thus Allah forgives him from that sin, because a person who repents is like a person who has no sins. The second way he says, أَوْ يَسْتَغْفِرُ فَيَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَهُ, or he may ask Allah to forgive him, to engage in istighfar, and thus Allah pardons him. The third way he says, أَوْ يَعْمَلَ حَسَنَاتٍ تَمْحُوهَا فَإِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. The third way he says, a person may put forward good deeds which erase that sin. Because good deeds by their nature, he says, they wipe away sins. The fourth way he says, أَوْ يَدْعُوا إِخْوَانُهُ أَوْ يَدْعُوا لَهُ إِخْوَانُهُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لَهُ حَيًّا وَمَيِّتًا. The fourth way is when his brothers from the believers make dua to Allah Almighty for him, asking Allah to pardon his sins. That is the fourth way. As for the fifth way, he says, أَوْ يَهْدُونَ لَهُ مِنْ ثَوَابِ أَعْمَالِهِمْ مَا يَنْفَعُهُ اللَّهُ بِهِ. Or he says, when some of the believers decide to gift him with the good deeds of some of their actions of worship, that may also benefit him as well, Ibn Taymiyyah says. What about the sixth way of pushing away the punishment before it arrives? The sixth way, he says, أَوْ يَشْفَعُ نَبِيُّهُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِيهِ. Or when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam intercedes for this person on the day of judgment, and thus his sins are forgiven. What about the seventh way? He says, أَوْ يَبْتَلِيهِ بِمَصَائِبَ فِي الدُّنْيَا مَا يُكَفِّرُ بِهِ عَنْهُ. Or Allah Almighty may trial him with difficulties in the life of this world, causing more sins to be forgiven. What about the eighth way? He says, أَوْ يَبْتَلِيهِ فِي الْبَرْزَخِ بِالصَّعْقَةِ فَيُكَفِّرُ بِهِ عَنْهُ. Or Allah may trial him in the grave via its difficulties, and thus Allah forgives more of his sins. What about the ninth? He says, أَوْ يَبْتَلِيهِ فِي عَرَصَاتِ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ أَهْوَالِهَا مَا يُكَفِّرُ بِهِ عَنْهُ. Or Allah may trial him in terms of the horrors of the day of judgment, and therefore more of his sins are forgiven. What about the tenth? Ibn Taymiyyah says, أَوْ يَرْحَمُهُ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Or Allah, the Most Merciful, may show mercy toward him. Let us rewind and ponder over these words, because these 10 avenues are going to form the crux of our khutbah for today. At a time when the month of Ramadan is now just around the corner, I ask Allah to allow us to reach the month of Ramadan. These words of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah have come at the right time. The first of these 10 ways, he says, when a person engages in tawbah, repentance, if you notice the second one mentioned, or when a person engages in istighfar, asking Allah to forgive his sins, there seems to be an overlap between the two. What is the difference between tawbah, repentance, and istighfar, asking Allah to forgive your sins? They seem to be referring to the exact same thing. The scholars of Islam have identified several differences, one of which being the following. They say that tawbah, repentance, is far more encompassing than istighfar, merely asking Allah to forgive your sins. Istighfar deals with the sins of the past, whilst tawbah, repentance, if Allah accepts it, deals with your past and your present and your future as well. For this reason, we know that an accepted tawbah has shurut, it has conditions. The first of these conditions, as you already know, is for a person to feel regret for what he did in the past. Notice how that deals with your past. The second condition is that you stop the sin immediately, right now, you desist. Notice how this condition deals with your present. And the third condition is that you promise Allah to try and never return to that sin again. Notice how that deals with the future. And therefore one can say that istighfar, asking Allah to forgive your sins, is the necessary precursor which leads to tawbah. The same way that you cannot fill a vessel only after you empty it, you need to have engaged in istighfar in order to reach the status of tawbah. And that is why Allah Almighty, He says in chapter 11 of the Quran, وَأَنِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ. Engage in istighfar, Allah says. Ask Allah to forgive your sins, then turn to Him in repentance. Look at how the repentance comes after the istighfar. These two points which Imam Ibn Taymiyyah mentions are in reference to this individual whom, after he has engaged in a sin, immediately finds himself turning to Allah, standing at the doorstep of Ar-Rahman, saying, Rabbighfirli, my Lord, pardon me, my Lord, pardon me. And thus, Abu Dawood writes in his Sunan and the Tirmidhi in his Jami', on the authority of Abu Bakr and the Siddiq, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِن رَجُلٍ يُذْنِبُ ذَنْبًا فَيَقُومُ فَيَتَطَهَّرُ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ يُصَلِّي رَكَعَتَيْنِ مَا مِن رَجُلٍ يُذْنِبُ ذَنْبًا فَيَقُومُ فَيَتَطَهَّرُ وَيُصَلِّي وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ رَكَعَتَيْنِ إِلَّا غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. He says there isn't any person who engages in a sin and then gets up and does wudu and prays two units of prayer and then sits down saying, my Lord, forgive me. My Lord, forgive me. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي, except that Allah will pardon him. What about the third way which Imam Ibn Taymiyyah identified to push away the consequence of the sin before it arrived? The third way, he says, for a person to engage in good deeds which by their nature erase the sins. And that is why Ibn Abi Hatim, he narrates in his tafsir that Al-Hasan al-Basri, he said, استعينوا على السيئات القديمات بالحسنات الحديثات استعينوا على السيئات القديمات بالحسنات الحديثات وإنكم لن تجدوا شيئا أذهب بسيئة قد قديمة من حسنة حديثة وأنا أجد تصديق ذلك في كتاب الله قال الله إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات. He says, deal with your sins of the past by putting forward new good deeds today. He says, you will not find anything more effective in erasing the sins of the past by introducing sins, good deeds of the present. And then he says, I have read the Quran and I found an ayah that supports this. Allah says, indeed, good deeds, they erase sins. So if you are an individual who fears complications in life that come with sins, then realize, my dear brothers and sisters, that immediately after you have engaged in that sin, follow it up with a good deed. And the moment you do that, feel that Allah is actively shedding you from those sins. When you are reciting Quran, feel that you are unloading some of those sins. When you are walking to the masjid, when you are tying on that hijab as was prescribed by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you engage in charity, when you come to the circles of knowledge, when you wake up in the morning for Fajr and you attend the jama'at, feel that Allah is removing from you these sins, because the Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها. Follow up a sin with a good deed and it will wipe it away. The fourth way which Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi identifies in order to push away the punishment before it arrives, he says, when the believers make dua for this individual, asking Allah to forgive his or her sins. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, where he said, فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Ask Allah Almighty to forgive your sins and the sins of the believing men and the believing women as well. Imam al-Qurtubi says in his tafsir of this ayah, وَقِيلَ الْخِطَابُ لَهُ وَالْمُرَادُ بِهِ الْأُمَّةِ وَقِيلَ الْخِطَابُ لَهُ وَالْمُرَادُ بِهِ الْأُمَّةِ وَعَلَى هَذَا الْقَوْلِ تُوجِبُ الْآيَةِ اسْتِغْفَارَ الْإِنسَانِ لِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ. He says, one of the opinions with regards to this verse is that Allah is, yes, speaking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but every other Muslim is intended. He said, therefore, based upon this understanding, every Muslim is obligated to ask Allah to forgive the sins of the Muslims. This is the behavior of the responsible Muslim. Not only does he worry about his crimes and his sins, but he is also worried about the sins of others. And that is why the prophets, they would say in their dua, as Prophet Nuh would say, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِمَنْ دَخَلَ بَيْتِيَ مُؤْمِنًا وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Oh Allah, forgive me and my parents and my guests who are believers and every believing man and believing woman. Allahu Akbar. And the Prophet of Allah, Ibrahim, he would say, alayhi salatu wasalam, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابُ. Oh Allah, forgive me and my parents and all of the believers on the day that the reckoning is established. Or as for the fifth, Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, when some of the believers choose to gift you with some of the good deeds of their actions of worship. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi has said in another place in his Majmu'ul Fatawa, لَا نِزَاعَ بَيْنَ عُلَمَاءِ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ فِي وُصُولِ ثَوَابِ الْعِبَادَاتِ الْمَالِيَّةِ كَالصَّدَقَةِ وَالْعِتْقِ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكِ. He says, there is no difference of opinion between the scholars of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah that the financial acts of worship, like charity and the freeing of slaves, the financial acts of worship, the reward of which can be gifted to another Muslim, it will reach them. He says, وَإِنَّمَا تَنَازَعُوا فِي وُصُولِ ثَوَابِ الْعِبَادَاتِ الْبَدَنِيَّةِ كَالصَّوْمِ وَالْقِرَاءَةِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. He says, however, the scholars have differed with regards to the physical actions of worship, like prayer and reading Quran and Hajj. Will these actions of worship reach another person if their reward is gifted to him? Ibn Taymiyyah says, وَالصَّوَابُ أَنَّ جَمِيعَ ذَلِكَ يَصِلْ وَالصَّوَابُ أَنَّ جَمِيعَ ذَلِكَ يَصِلْ. He says, the correct opinion is that all of these things will reach an individual. And he says, this is the opinion of Ahmad and Abu Hanifa and some of the Maliki and Shafi'i scholars as well. As for the sixth way in which a person's sins may be pushed away and the repercussions sidelined before they arrive, he said, when the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam intercedes for a believer on the day of judgment, Allahu Akbar, I ask Allah to make us recipients of this shafa'ah, this intercession. He will be given a series of intercessions on the day of judgment, some of which are exclusive to him and others are shared between him and other people as well. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as Imam al-Bukhari narrates on the authority of Abi Hurairah, لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ دَعْوَةٌ يَدْعُ بِهَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ دَعْوَةٌ مُسْتَجَابَةٌ يَدْعُ بِهَا وَأُرِيدُ أَنْ أَخْتَبِئَ دَعْوَتِي لِأُمَّتِي شَفَاعَةً لِأُمَّتِي فِي الْآخِرَةِ. He said, Every prophet in the life of this world was given one dua which Allah guaranteed he will answer for him. As for me, I have saved this dua in order to intercede for my ummah on the day of judgment. There will be intercessions which only the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be given on this long and exhausting and strenuous day. Thus humanity, both black and white, male and female, Arab and non-Arab, Muslim and kafir, will look at the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that day with the eye of awe and veneration and marvel and wonder. This is the praised station, by the way. This is al-maqam al-mahmood, which Allah referred to in the Quran when he said, عَسَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. Pray at night, O Prophet, because it could be that Allah will raise you to a very praiseworthy station. That is the station for him on the day of judgment. This is way number six, when he intercedes for the believers on the day of judgment who are still carrying sins. What about the seventh way? Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, if you remember, he said, or Allah may trial this person with difficulties in dunya, causing more of his sins to fall away. And that is why the companion Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when he entered upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَهُوَ يُوعَكُ وَعْكًا شَدِيدًا, he was suffering a tremendous fever. As Bukhari and Muslim narrate, the Ibn Mas'ud said to the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, innaka tu'aku wa'akan shadida. O Messenger of Allah, you are suffering a great deal. He said to him, Ajal, inni u'aku kama yu'aku rajulani minkum. He said, yes, I am suffering a great deal. I suffer twice as much as when any one of you suffer. Ibn Mas'ud, he says, ذَلِكَ أَنَّ لَكَ أَجْرَيْنِ. Is that because Allah is going to reward you twice? He said to him, أَجَلْ ذَلِكَ. That is correct. كَذَلِكَ مَا مِن مُسْلِمٍ يُصِيبُهُ أَذَى شَوْكَةٌ فَمَا فَوْقَهَا إِلَّا كَفَّرَ اللَّهُ بِهَا سَيِّئَاتِهِ وَحُطَّتْ عَنْهُ ذُنُوبُهُ كَمَا تَحُطُّ الشَّجَرَةُ وَرَقَهَا. He says, but likewise, I say to you the following. Any Muslim, look, he's teaching even when he is ill. Allahu Akbar. Likewise, he says, any Muslim who suffers any degree of harm, whether as small as the pricking of a thorn or more, Allah Almighty will pardon him from some of his sins and will allow his sayyi'at to fall away from his body, the same way that a tree sheds its leaves. Allahu Akbar. Therefore, realize, dear brother, dear sister, that any pain you're experiencing at the bodily level, at the psychological level, internally, externally, a lack of ability to sleep, financially, with friends, socially, educationally, maritally, realize that Allah Almighty is causing your sins to fall away from you and pushing away the repercussions of those sins that we are yet to repent from. That is avenue number 7. What about avenue number 8? Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, or when Allah Almighty causes a person to suffer in the grave due to its horrors, Allah Almighty pardons him from some of the sins there as well. That is because there is an interrogation in the grave. 6 feet under, there will be two angels who will visit us. Munkar and Nakir, their names are. And there will also be a squeezing of the grave. A person is lowered underground, the earth will hug you, it will compress you. Some people will remain in the torturous clasp of the grave till the day of standing, whilst others will be relieved. Nobody will be spared of this squeeze, not even the children will be spared. And that is why Ahmad narrates in his Musnad on the authority of our mother Aisha, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Inna lil qabri daghtah, falaw naja aw salima minha ahad, la naja Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh." He said, the grave, it has a compression on the body. It's going to have a squeeze, a painful squeeze. And therefore, if anybody was going to be saved from it, he said, my companion Sa'ad ibn Mu'adh would have been saved, i.e. but even he wasn't spared. The grave will come for many people with anxiety and pain and scariness and lonesomeness. All of this will bring about with the takfir of al-dhunub, the expiation of sins, if a person is still carrying sins at that moment in time. What about the 9th way? Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, or Allah Almighty may forgive his sins on the day of judgment due to its horrors and due to its terrifying scenes. What about avenue number 10? The last of the 10, he said, أو يرحمه أرحم الراحمين, or Allah, the most merciful, may show mercy towards him. لَيَغْفِرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَغْفِرَةً يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَمْ تَخْطُرْ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. The companion Abdullah ibn Mas'ud would say, as Ibn al-Mubarak mentions in his book Az-Zuhd, he said, Allah Almighty is going to forgive people on the day of judgment in a way that no human heart could ever imagine. Why would Ibn Mas'ud say this? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said, as Bukhari and Muslim narrate on the authority of Abi Hurairah, in one of the most hopeful ahadith that you will ever come across, he said, "Inna lillahi ta'ala tis'atan, inna lillahi ta'ala mi'ata rahmah, anzal Allahu minha rahmatan wahidah, yashtariku fiha al-insu, wal-jinnu, wal-dawabu, wal-hawam, biha yata'atafun, wabiha yatarahamun, wafi riwayatin qal, حتى ترفع الدابة حافرها عن ولديها خشية أن تصيبه." He says, Allah Almighty has divided His mercy into 100 parts. And from those parts, He has only brought down one part to this world, which is shared between the human beings and the spirits, the jinn, and the animal world, and the world of the creatures. He says they show affection and mercy to one another through that one part of Allah's mercy. He said, till you see the wild beast raising its foot, not wanting to harm its child. Allahu Akbar. Every shade, brothers and sisters, of rahmah, mercy that you see in this universe is nothing but a manifestation of a fraction of one part of Allah's 100 parts of mercy. One part that includes the mercy of the mother over her child, and the mercy that exists between husband and wife, and the mercy of the father over his children, and the mercy of the Muslim over the kuffar, the mercy that you see in the animal kingdom, the mercy that we don't see in the world of the jinn, the mercy of the prophets and messengers, the mercy of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam over his ummah, all of this is but a fraction of one part of 100 parts of Allah's mercy. What about the remaining 99? What about them? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concludes the hadith and he says, وَأَخَّرَ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ يَرْحَمُ بِهَا عِبَادَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He has saved the other 99 parts of his mercy in order to display his mercy on the believers on the Day of Judgment. Thus Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi would say, أَوْ يَرْحَمُهُ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِ. The 10th way he says, or Allah the Most Merciful may show mercy towards him. And therefore it is understandable how insane it would be for a person to still meet Allah Almighty on the Day of Judgment heading to the fire after being given all of these opportunities. And thus Ibn Taymiyyah, he concludes this study with one sentence and he said, فَمَنْ أَخْطَأَتْهُ هَذِهِ الْعَشَرَةِ فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. He says, therefore, any person who misses out on every one of these 10 ways of forgiveness of sins, then let him blame nobody but himself.